Our passage this morning is Exodus 33, 7 through 11. If you want to turn there with me, read for yourself what God has to say to you this morning. We are continuing our series, the last section of the book of Exodus. I loved church as a teenager. Church was a safe place for me. It was a place I enjoyed going. I wanted to go. It represented the presence of God in my life. Home life was all right. My parents had divorced when I was age 10, and my mom had to work a lot, two jobs, and my brother and sister were all right, but we did fight quite a bit. So church was a good place to be instead of home. School wasn't much better. I was a nerd then, and of course my kids still call me a nerd today, so maybe not much has changed, but certainly then I was a nerd, sat at the nerd table, wasn't accepted very much. It was a hard place to be at school. But church. At church, we had a youth group, and I was, for the most part, accepted in that youth group. And we got to go on trips, and we got to go on mission trip together, and we got to go to camp together and retreat, much like the kids are going this weekend. There was a group of adults that poured into me and were interested in my life and wanted the best for me and had spoken to my life through RAs and through Bible study teachers and put up with us, put up with me. I had a pastor that I enjoyed. His sermons were awfully long and boring, but he invested time in me and spoke into my life. And at church, I got to be part of youth choir and youth handbells and enjoy great meals with my church family. And I could just hang out in the halls with my friends and with the adults. And it was a great place to be. Because that's where God did work in my life. The church was my tent of meeting. And it's no wonder I ended up becoming a pastor because of my great love for the church. The church was my tent of meeting, as I said, the place where I met with God and experienced God. Well, this also happened to Moses and a young teenager called Joshua in the book of Exodus. If you look back, what we've taken a look at so far, if after the golden calf incident, God pronounced three judgments on the Israelite people. The first was a great earthquake that swallowed a great many of them almost instantaneously. The second was a great plague that God had sent on the Israelites. And the third was the pronouncement that God, the Father, would no longer go with them, be in their presence as they went to the Holy Land. And this included where He would take up residence with them, how He would interact with them. He would meet with them outside the camp, outside the camp of meeting. Now, even though God is not meeting with His people in the camp as He would have liked to, if certainly as the Israelites would like Him to, He still meets with them in a tent of meeting. And this tent of meeting will become an important symbol for the relationship that God desires to have with you and to have with me. The relationship that He desires to have with His people. So let's read together. Exodus 33, verse 7 through 11. I'm going to read the whole passage at once. So let's go ahead and stand. Let's honor God's word as I read. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up.
And each would stand at his tent door and watch until Moses had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his own tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Thank you. You may be seated. What is this tent of meeting? Well, the first thing we need to establish is that this tent of meeting was not the tabernacle. These are two different things. And we can take a look at the scriptures and how it's described and what's going on here and know that this is different than the tabernacle. The tent of meeting was outside of the camp, but the tabernacle was at the center of the camp. The tent of meeting was served by two individuals, Moses and Joshua, while the tabernacle, on the other hand, was served by the Levites, a whole group of people. Thirdly, the cloud of presence, when it came down on the tent of meeting, it was only there when Moses was in the tent. However, the cloud, signifying God's presence, always hung over the tabernacle unless they were striking camp and moving. And then fourth, the structure of the book of Exodus is such that the sections of scripture regarding the tabernacle are very specific. They only talk about the tabernacle in chapters 25 through 31, when Moses initially receives the instructions for constructing the tabernacle. And then in chapters 35 through 40, where he builds the tabernacle exactly to the specifications given in the earlier chapters. And so this reference to the tent of meeting is not found in those two sections. So we know that these two tents, the tabernacle and the tent of meeting, are two different things providing two different purposes. The evidence all points to the fact that the tent of meeting described here is unique. It's a provisional place for God to meet with Moses and the Israelites. Now, the period of time that this tent of meeting is used is not quite clear, but it is used for a period of time because verse 7 indicates that Moses repeatedly took the tent outside of the camp and pitched it. Why would he have to repeatedly do this? Well, you might think that the Israelites probably pitched their residence at the base of Mount Sinai one place and left it. But you have to remember they had all kinds of flocks, all kinds of sheep, all kinds of livestock to feed. So periodically they would have to take up their camp and move it to be able to feed those flocks. And each time they did this, Moses would reset up the tent of meeting outside of the camp. This is probably also the reason that this happened, is so every time Moses wanted to speak to God, or God wanted to speak to Moses, he didn't have to climb to the top of Mount Sinai each time that he was wanting to do this. Now, there are four things that strike me as important about the tent of meeting. And the first is this. The tent of meeting was a place where the Israelites could seek out God. It's a place where the Israelites could seek out God. The great wonder of the tent of meeting is not that Moses could go and speak there to God. Moses has already been speaking to God. But the Israelites could speak to him as well. The God who had appeared at the top of Mount Sinai. You know, the Mount Sinai that the Israelites were not even allowed to touch. If they even touched the mountain, they would be struck dead. Not even the priests were not able to seek God at this time. But because the tent of meeting was set up, all of Israel, all the Israelites could go out to this tent of meeting and have a conversation with God and seek His face. But it was outside the camp. Second thing important about the tent of meeting is that it was outside the camp. The tent of meeting was located a good distance from the camp. I believe the principal reason for this is to fulfill God's words to Moses when He said, "I will not go with you or among you to Canaan." When God's presence was manifested in the tent of meeting, it would always be outside the camp. When an Israelite would seek God, he or she would have to do so by going, leaving the camp, leaving where they normally were, leaving where they normally did life, and go out to the tent. The tent symbolized the remoteness of God due to Israel's idolatry. Yet it also provided a nearness to God that was more intimate than anything the people had yet experienced. It's a conflicting dynamic. God says, all right, there's consequences of your sin, so in order for you to meet with me, you're going to have to leave the camp, you're going to have to walk out to this tent and spend time with me out there because of your sin. But at the same time, the Israelites have never had this intimacy, this type of relationship with God before. Even though it's outside the camp, even though it's not what it should have been, they were still experiencing God in a more intimate way than they ever had to this point. The tent symbolizes the remoteness of God. When any Israelite wanted to seek God, they'd have to remove themselves from the midst of His people, separate themselves from their sinfulness to seek God on His holy ground. The third thing, so the tent of meeting provided an intimacy of Moses and God. Our text here, we see Moses enjoying intimacy with God that's virtually unparalleled in the Old Testament. Moses experienced God and interacted with God in a unique way that is unparalleled to anybody else in the Old Testament. When Miriam and Aaron later speak against Moses, listen to God's reply. In Numbers 12, verses 6 through 8, "And He said, 'Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. When I speak mouth to mouth, with him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord.'" No other prophet speaks face to face with God as Moses does. And when Moses entered the tent of meeting, a cloud representing the presence and the glory of God would descend at the door of the tent. I believe the intimacy of worship that we see here is the fulfillment of God's promise to Moses, made in the exact same place, if you remember, at the burning bush. Exodus 3:12, God spoke to Moses. He said, "But I will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Another thing the tent of meeting does is it shows the Israelites' respect for Moses. The Israelites' respect for Moses. The actions of the Israelites here are in direct opposition to what they did beforehand. Before, they rejected Moses. Before, they had disdain for Moses. It's reflected in Aaron's words right before they built the golden calf. This is what he said: "As for Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him." When Moses had been gone for some time up on the mountain, the Israelites were not really concerned about his safety or his life. They didn't pray for him. They didn't send out a rescue party for him. They just assumed that he was gone and he wasn't coming back. And so they unofficially appoint Aaron to lead them. They make this golden calf for them to worship. The people could care less about Moses during their time of rebellion against God. But now is a different story. Every time Moses goes to leave to go to the tent of meeting, every single person in the camp, all the Israelites, they stand outside their door and they watch Moses go. And they watch him till he enters the tent. And they watch as that pillar comes down in front of that tent. And then what do? They stand and they worship the Lord every time he goes. The intimacy which God had with Moses was God's way of emphasizing that Moses was their leader, that God had appointed, whom the people should respect and obey. When God spoke to Moses from that cloud, the people saw it, and they learned this man was God's man, and they better not disregard him again. No wonder the whole congregation stood when Moses went outside the camp. Now, I believe there's some things that we can take away from this tent of meeting for ourselves. The first is the reminder of the grace of God. At the very point of Israel's greatest sin, when the judgment of God appears imminent, God's grace is still very visible. It is visible in the warnings that God gave. There are three things that God used as punishment or consequences for their actions: the extermination through killing people instantly, the sending of the plague, and now this distant relationship. God did this to warn the Israelites, not to torment them, not to be vindictive, but to turn them from their sin so they would repent and desire to be in right relationship with him. God, even through his consequences that he divvies out, even through his judgment, he's wanting to be restored to his people. He loves his people. That's reflected in Jeremiah 18:5-8. Jeremiah writes, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I'll pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it." God is always, when he divvies out his judgment, when he divvies out his consequences, he is always doing so that his people might be restored to him. My friends, when you're dealing with the consequences of your sin, when you're dealing with God's judgment, know that it is always divvied out, with the expectation and the hope and the desire for you to be reconciled to him. God's grace is evident in his provision in the tent of meeting. While God evidenced Israel's sin by being present with his people at a distance, nevertheless, God was never nearer to the people than he had been at this point in time. He once was only at the top of Mount Sinai, where only Moses was permitted to go. But now, not only is Moses able to go and seek him in his tent, but all the Israelites as well. When men need God most, he provides his grace to provide a way. God's grace is also evident as well in the provisions of Moses as the mediator for the people. Moses and Joshua, the two men untainted by Israel's sin, were those who served as mediators in the tent of meeting, speaking on the people's behalf. And the people knew it. They knew their very lives, as well as their relationship with God, were dependent upon the mediation of Moses. Next, we see the tent of meeting was a special place for Joshua. It was a special place for Joshua. It says in verse 11, "Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." This is the first mention of Joshua. This line jumps off of the page to me. It's very brief and it's subtle, but it's important. It's important because the fact that Joshua was present when the Lord would speak to Moses, which helps explain why Joshua would be Moses' successor. Even more important, Joshua would not move out of the tent even with Moses left. That action is layered with certain significance. After all, it would be Joshua who would complete Moses' mission to take the Israelites to the promised land. But most importantly, Joshua displays a beautiful devotion to staying in the holy place. Joshua, I imagine, is completely riveted by the feeling of being in God's presence. He doesn't want to leave the sacred place where he's met God. If you've ever attended an especially moving retreat or camp or mission trip and you experience God in a very real way and you're close to Him, it's hard to leave. It's hard to come off that mountaintop. We want to stay. We want to be where we had that intimate relationship with God. But we know we all have to come off the mountain. But Joshua was the same way. He wanted to stay in the tent. God had all kinds of valleys, all kinds of things that he would face, all kinds of things he would have to fight in the real world, out in the desert. But Joshua wanted to stay. God poured into him. They built a special relationship. Joshua didn't want to leave. Oh, that we would all desire to stay in the presence of God. To stay in that sweet communion with God and with His people. I'll never forget coming home from a camp trip. We were pulling into Louisville, getting close, and suddenly one of the young men in the back of the van just started breaking out in tears and just wept uncontrollably. We all knew why. We had just spent a week at Centrifuge, and he had been poured into by those camp leaders. We had had incredible times of intimate worship with God. Creative Bible study and his Bible leaders pouring into him. And we as a group loved on each other and had a great time of fellowship and played together and laughed and experienced God together and church group devotions. It was a sweet, sweet time with God. But this young man was coming home to a home where his parents didn't attend church. It wasn't a value to them. He wasn't being abused physically, but emotionally, verbally. It was a struggle for him to be able to even come to church each week as he fought against them. So we all knew why he was weeping. He didn't want to leave that intimate place that he had with God and our group. Like Joshua, we want to stay in the tent. But we can't stay there. We have to go into the desert. We can use those experiences, those times of communion with God, hopefully to take us to a little bit higher place where we live in just a little bit more faithfulness to God, a little bit more intimacy with God when we come off those mountains, so we can make a greater difference where we are, be His hands and His feet, and walk in greater relationship with Him. Is it going to be up here like we were up on the mountain? No. But maybe we could take that experience to live a little bit closer to Him throughout the year. Live a little bit more faithfully to Him throughout the year. In our everyday life, the faithfulness of Joshua, the friendship and loyalty he displays in wanting to remain in the place that he had experienced God's company, was kind of like me as a teenager wanting to stay within the four walls of that church, a place where God worked in my life. I was a little bit like Joshua. May that be the case for all of us. A desire to seek our Savior. A desire to have intimate worship with Him. Intimate service. Intimate and sincere fellowship with other believers. Intimate time talking face to face with God Himself. The last thing we should say about the tent of meeting is that the tent of meeting is a picture of Jesus Christ. That tent outside the camp was a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of grace and the provision of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our mediator. If we are in our trespasses, in our sin, we are dead, with no claim on God, with no hope of salvation, no future but death. We have one who offers to be our mediator with God. Just as Israel's future rested with Moses and what he did in that tent of meeting, all of man's future rests on Christ. For Christ only paid the price for our sins. Only He has continual access to God. But there's another way that the tent of meeting points us to Jesus Christ. It points us to Jesus Christ because the camp of meeting was outside the camp. God's provision for the people was removed and distant from their camp, and thus from their sin. And so it was in Jesus' day. Religious tradition that was entrenched with the Jewish people, the only way to truly hear and see from God was to go outside of that. It started with John the Baptist, who was outside in the wilderness. You had to go out to him to hear the word of the Lord. The religious establishment had become corrupt, just like it had in Moses' day. It had become defiled by their idolatry. If men wanted to repent and return to God, they had to disassociate themselves from the religious system that they had set up and go outside the camp. Those who trusted in the Lord Jesus were forced to do so in opposition to the leaders of Jerusalem, in opposition to the religious leaders of Jerusalem. And finally, Jesus was crucified outside the camp, outside the city walls. There's also an encouraging message to each of us. Maybe some of us who have former lives that were defiled by sin. There are those who mourn the days of their unbelief when they defiled themselves with sin and desires of the flesh. There are many feel that they have such a past that they could be no use to God, and that is simply not true. We have a mediator who speaks on our behalf. When we deserve death, our mediator speaks on our behalf and says, let's start new. Let's start fresh. Let's have a new beginning. And that mediator is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when the Son mediates on our behalf, the promised land is awaiting us. The promised land of a new relationship with Him. My friends, it's my desire that this building, that this church, this people will be a tent of meeting for each and every one of us. Certainly for our teenagers, like it was for me. It's my prayer that each of our teenagers will find a place of refuge, an oasis, a place where they're loved on and poured into. A place where God works in their life. And even the pastor who might have a long and boring sermon, you know, loves you and pours into you. Not just you all as teenagers, but all of us. That this place will be a tent of meeting for each of us. A place for us to separate from the world just a little bit and worship Him. And hear from Him, interact with Him, speak with Him, plead with Him, wrestle with Him. This will be a sweet, sweet place. Not just the four walls, not just the brick and mortar, but His people. That we become a tent of meeting for each other. Is that for you? It may not be, but God's desire is for it to be. But it takes some ownership on our part. We got to make the trek out of the camp into the tent of meeting and say, Lord, I'm here. I want to interact with you. I want to interact with God's people. I want to be engaged with you. I want to be engaged with God's people. Let's create a tent of meeting where God meets us and uses us and loves on us through each other, flowing out of Him. May Flint Hill Baptist Church be a tent of meeting. May it be a place where we don't want to leave. We want to stay here. We want to be like me when I was a teenager. I'd been at church 7 nights a week. We may not want to leave, but we know we've been commanded to come off the mountain and be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us, to love on them, to share the good news of Jesus Christ so they can experience the tent of meeting themselves. Oh, it's my prayer that this family is that for you. And if it's not, why not? What are you doing to engage the tent of meeting here at Flint Hill Baptist Church? How can you engage with us? We would love to engage with you and meet our Savior together in this place. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church and your desire for your church to be our tent of meeting. A place where we engage with you, a place where we hear from you, a place where we can interact with one another's children of God. It's my prayer for each person here. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you personally, that even today they'll say, Lord, I want that type of relationship. I didn't know it was possible. I thought my sin was in the way. I thought the busyness of life. But Lord, I want it. I want a personal love relationship with you. I pray that today they will set their lives on that course. Lord, thank you for being our mediator, speaking on our behalf, always at the side of our Heavenly Father, saying, that's one of ours. They've messed up, but I died on the cross for them so they can be in right relationship with us. Lord, thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for being our mediator. We love you, Lord. We're going to sing another song celebrating what you've called us to do and to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.